can always tweet us at 99.3 ESPN Radio. We might even tweet you back. This is Scheman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
It's hour number two of the Scheman and Shepard program here on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. A little Ace of Base. And I saw the sign. Chris on the other side of the glass. I'm Pete Shepard. Craig is off this week. I'm back after a couple of weeks. Hiatus. And it's great to be back. It really is. And lots going on today. Want to hear from you guys at 239-337-3776. We talked last hour a lot about the World Cup and the women's team winning it again. And the big controversy is not how they won or anything like that, but the gap between finances between the men and the women. They're claiming it's very unfair, but when we break it down and you look at it and you see the revenue that comes in worldwide, not this country, worldwide, you can understand why there is such a gap. Maybe it's still, maybe they could do a little bit better, but when you really break it down, I don't know if that's ever going to happen. I don't know if it's ever going to happen, but it's something that is out there. I'll go through the numbers again. But in the meantime, we got a lot of NBA news to tell you about. And before we get into all of that, without further ado, before I forget, I promise I will not miss one this week, and I will not. Here's Chris with a Sports Center rundown.
Chris Haynes of Yahoo Sports is reporting that the Lakers' starting backcourt next year will be Danny Green and LeBron James at the point. My computer's freezing up right now, so we're going to have the Home Run Derby tonight on 99.3 ESPN at 7. The event will start at 8. There it goes. It just freed up. And the Buccaneers have signed third-round draft pick cornerback Jamel Dean. The Bucs now only have one unsigned rookie. That's first-rounder linebacker Devin White.
All right, Chris. Great job. Fantastic. All right, let's get into Yahoo Sports. This is just breaking now. And I don't know if it's more like development. It's not really break news, but it is interesting. And, you know, what's going to be weird this year, Chris, is every time I see a decision like this, where is it coming from?
Right.
Is it the Rambai? Is this Rob Pelinka? Is this Frank Vogel?
I mean,
is it Jason Kidd?
It does make sense.
Because
now you're trying to get just your five best on the floor. And instead of forcing, Quinn Cook or Rajon Rondo
into the
starting lineup, now you just move LeBron there to point guard, him and Danny Green in the backcourt. You were going to play through LeBron anyway.
Okay. Will LeBron James, will he be hardened? Will he sit out there with Anthony Davis there as well, out there?
I don't think so.
Drill the ball 24, for 20 seconds and take shots. I mean, is it?
That's never.
I know it's not. But this is a different. This is obviously LeBron's team. You still got to wonder what the chemistry is going to be like. Boogie Cousins, LeBron James, Rajon Rondo, Frank Vogel, and I'm just wondering how coachable is this team going to be with Frank Vogel if things do not go well to start.
Well, here's the
expectations are that the Lakers are going to be, they shouldn't be autumn, but they're going to be a playoff team. And the people that think they're going to waltz into the NBA Finals, I think, is crazy.
Oh, I don't think that.
But certainly they're going to be as competitive as anybody else in the West.
I think they're one of the six teams in the Western Conference that's got a legitimate shot to make it to the finals next season.
Yeah, I think the Clippers
are right there.
Right there as well.
Utah's had a great offseason.
Yep.
Portland was in the Western Conference final last year.
Yep.
Denver had the second best roster last year. I mean, the West is
wide open. I think the East is wide open.
And we haven't mentioned Houston yet either.
Yes.
Who, kind of standing pat, not doing anything, has proven to be, they're right there.
All right, before I forget, I can't read it from here. There's a sandwich bet up there, a sticky pad bet.
That was Anthony Davis will waive his $4 million trade bonus.
Oh, was
where you said no and I said yes, he would.
Yeah.
So there's a sandwich bet.
Yeah, right.
And we would have gotten to it.
Yeah.
We would have gotten to it.
Right.
But I didn't want to forget that because that happened 2 weeks ago, I think.
It did, yeah. it did. And I was surprised. But now you've got to wonder, would he do it again knowing that Kawhi did not? I mean, why he did it was he thought Kawhi might free up some money and Kawhi might go there.
It didn't hurt. Now you're able to go and who knows, maybe that's the $4 million you were able to go get DeMarcus Cousins with. But Boogie being in this this locker room, if I'm him, I've got to realize, man, there was one team offering me a contract and it was $3.5 million. I was way underpaid last year at $5 million playing with Golden State. He can't come into this organization and be the Boogie Cousins of, you know, before his Achilles injury, where he's the bad guy. He can't do that. He's got to come into this locker room and be a unifying piece, not a divisive piece.
Yeah, easier said than done for him.
But it's 1 year, $3.5 million. Like, if this isn't the NBA telling you.
Huge expectations. Right, but not that last year was, but it was a different. He didn't have that pressure on him last year.
If this isn't the NBA telling you as a collective group of 30 teams, hey, you ain't as good as you think you are, I don't know what will ever put Boogie Cousins in a different mind frame. So I'd hope he turns it around.
You would think. And he was pretty professional last year. The second half of the year with Golden State.
What was interesting is he was actually the guy that looked like who's trying to smooth things over between Draymond and KD when they had their blow up early on in the season.
Yeah, and I wasn't on the air with you guys. That was something. That was a story that developed a couple weeks ago. And not really surprised. You always hear about stuff like this
after the fact,
after the championship. It happens all the time. But, look, I thought from the get-go Kawhi Leonard was going to be a Clipper. I said it for 3 months. I thought that's who it was going to be. Now, these people that speak in absolutes, and I know people wanted to make fun of Paul Pierce last year. Well, Jalen Rose did the same thing.
Oh, Chris Broussard did the same thing.
Well, I expect it from Chris.
He's an insider, though. He's a guy who's supposed to report on it, not give opinion like Jalen Rose. Broussard should be the one saying, at least giving himself an out when he goes on whatever his show is called, Speak for Yourself, and says the Clippers are out. You should always throw a caveat in there as of now without adding the second superstar. The Clippers will not get Kawhi Leonard.
It wasn't just him. And, you know, I don't trust him as an insider. I trust Chris Haynes of Yahoo. Obviously, we trust Adrian Wojnarowski, the ESPN, the best. But those two, Chris and Adrian, are the best. I mean, those are the guys that I trust. Chris, these people that were speaking in absolutes all the time, never getting into what I was reading, in-depth detail. Oh, he's just unhappy with this, and it's going to be that. I mean, people ruling the Clippers had no shot. People ruling the Raptors had no shot. People ruling the Lakers had no shot. It just becomes such minutiae. And it's just, again, everybody wants to be first. And this particular guy, Kawhi Leonard, doesn't say anything. So I thought it was great because he duped a lot of people. I still thought when it was all said and done, he'd end up a Clipper because I really think he wanted Doc Rivers. Now, I do think, obviously, Stephen A. brought this up earlier today as well. I think he's right. He went to Doc, or he went to management of the Clippers and said, "Hey, get Paul George here." He might have used that as a negotiating tactic. I'll come here for a little less money.
At least he left
$100 million on the table.
At least a number two.
Yeah, remember he left $100 million on the table, and he's going to pay a hell of a lot more taxes. But that just goes to show you how much he'd rather be there with Paul George than with LeBron and the Lakers, doesn't it? Or am I reading too much into that?
I think the idea for Kawhi. And again, we're trying to put ourselves in Kawhi Leonard's mind frame, which that doesn't work.
He's a very unique guy.
He's proven that he kind of has his own way of thinking about things. But I think the idea of being coached by Doc Rivers, I think that carried an awful lot
too.
Of weight for him.
I do, too. And I also think, though, the situation right there in the same building with the Lakers, how stable is this organization? And I know on paper, obviously, look. Like they got a hell of a lot better than they did. There's no doubt about it. They should be. But he's looking at the Frank Vogel situation, which everybody on the planet knows is a lame duck coach. It's only a matter of time before Jason Kidd gets in. You get LeBron James, who, do a lot of guys want to play with LeBron?
Yeah.
I don't know about that anymore. I don't know about that.
He's a LeBron's still the superstar status right now, but he is on the wrong side of 30. He's 32 going into his age 33 mm-hmm. season. I'm sure that there are guys out there saying, I don't know how much longer he's playing at this level. And that's legitimate. Now, I would argue and say, well, okay, as soon as he starts to, or maybe that was what we saw last year, where you start to see the downhill yeah. side of LeBron's career, you still got a 26-year-old mm-hmm. Anthony Davis sitting right there next to you. That's a hell of a number two.
No question.
One of the five best players on the planet.
I just think it's going to be really interesting and a hell of a lot of pressure on Frank Vogel. It really is. And I'm sure he's going to say he's a great coach, professional coach. He's going to say all the right things. But, man, there's a lot of egos on this team. There's a lot of potential for disruption. Like I said, just Vogel, but Rajon Rondo, and Boogie Cousins on the same team. And everybody knows. This is the thing. Everybody knows. He's going to have to gain control of that team, I think, very early. Because I do think there will be some on that team. And LeBron, I think, may be one of them, that he ain't going to be the coach there for long. I know he signed a multi-year deal. I don't care about that. Everybody on the planet thinks Jason Kidd's going to coach that team. It's just a matter of time. And if things don't go well, and what did he sign, a three-year deal? He signed a three-year...
Vogel?
Yeah.
Something
like that. Three-year multi-million dollar deal, and I understand that. But I think he's got a tremendous amount of pressure on him and some of the egos that are on that team. That if chemistry does not go well, man, there's going to be some adjustments that are going to have to be made. And I don't know if LeBron's going to allow it because he's still going to be the coach. It's still going to be LeBron's team. And I'm just wondering how much respect he has for Frank Vogel and how – because the only coach he's really responded to is Ty Lue. Really is.
Spoelstra gained his respect, but it wasn't there initially, that's for sure.
It wasn't there. But anyway, here's Coach Nurse for Toronto – saying, I can't blame Kawhi Leonard for going to the Clippers.
You can't blame a guy for wanting to go home, right? That's what he texts me today. I'm going home, you know. And I just said you've changed a lot of lives, man, by what you accomplished in Toronto, mine especially. And thanked him for what he did. And we'll look to the future and we'll look to do it again.
And Coach Nurse also talking about the bright side with Leonard now gone.
I mean, we got a tremendous challenge ahead of us, but, you know, I always say that the challenges are our fuel, right? And the tank is certainly full right now. So got a chance for some guys to expand their roles maybe that wouldn't have had expanded roles in the – you know, situation, and I think we got some guys capable of doing that. So, man, I look forward to the challenge, like I said, and let's go get after it, you know?
Yeah, get after it.
Did you see the report over the weekend that the Raptors turned down a trade offer that would have brought, it was Paul George and Russell Westbrook to Toronto. Mm-hmm. They would have had to give up Pascal Siakam and some other players on that roster.
I did see that.
And the Raptors turned that down.
I know.
I found that pretty surprising.
I did too.
And
I was happy.
Think of Pascal Siakam.
Yeah. And we talked about him, and he was a big factor in why the Raptors got to where they were.
Oh, he's that 6'8", great defender that's added a lot of offense to his game over the last year, but he could switch and play all five guys on the court now.
Yeah. And this opens things up, which we're going to get to the Miami Heat as well, because I think – you got to like what happened. First of all, you got rid of Whiteside, got rid of that money.
Genius.
You got Jimmy Butler, which is going to add some spark to this team. But there's, I think, a better-than-average chance that they could end up with Russell Westbrook, which I think would be – why not? And I know what people think of him, and I don't care. That's got to be intriguing. If you're a Miami Heat fan, Russell Westbrook and Jimmy Butler on the same team, you haven't had that kind of star power excitement in a long time.
Yeah, since LeBron, Wade, and Bosh. Mm-hmm. But that becomes an angry duo. I mean, those are two guys that play with a chip on their shoulder.
Absolutely, and I need my touches, and Westbrook's going to be used to getting triple-doubles, and Jimmy's going to want to have his shots. But you know what? I'd rather have that.
Than what they've been stuck in that eight.
Yeah.
If you're gonna fail, Fail in spectacular fashion.
That's
fail
it.
By making me watch your product because I want to see what Jimmy Butler and Russell Westbrook are all about
those
playing
two
together.
Make me want, they, those two will sell tickets.
Exactly. Yeah.
I don't know what the season's fan base is now with the Heat. I would imagine it's gone down the last few years a little bit. But
yeah, from what it was.
But Jimmy Butler and Russell Westbrook would intrigue me. I would want to go see that duo on the floor at the same time.
Well, and that becomes – does that not become one of the best – duos in the Eastern Conference? I know the roster won't be built out like a lot of other teams, but just looking at the top two players, that becomes as good as anybody's guy.
Yeah, it's, and if they both can learn to sacrifice at times a little bit, which is what we talk about Harden all the time, it makes it all that much better. They're both going to want to have triple-doubles every night. Obviously, Russell's got way more. I mean, he's been a guy. He's a triple-double machine. Jimmy Butler wants to be the. They both want to be the man. Can two people like that exist on the same floor as we were talking about? I don't know. But it's intriguing to me, and it's a hell of a lot better off than what they were.
And we've seen the answer with both guys be no. That we've seen, you know, the Thunder moved on from James Harden because they thought that they were going to pair Russ and KD together for the next decade. Didn't work out. KD actually moves on to go be with more superstars, but thought he could get more touches. Mm-hmm. And every time the Thunder lost in the playoffs, it was always Russ needs to pass the ball more.
Yep.
Fair at times. I think he gets a little too much of the blame at other times. That roster wasn't great this year. You know, Portland was clearly a better team than them, so I don't think it was fair to put that whole series loss on Russ. But to be fair, he's had series where he should have passed the ball a little bit more. But on the flip side, Jimmy Butler came within a, call it lucky, call it a lucky bounce, whatever you want.
Three and a half bounce rim.
Right.
Yeah,
I mean, they pushed the eventual NBA champs to a game seven when Jimmy Butler was the primary scorer for the 76ers.
And then they go out and sign Ben Simmons to that gigantic contract. But I'm sorry. I think Al Horford, so angry that he went to that team, to the Philadelphia 76ers.
That was a great signing for them.
It was a fantastic signing. He is going to add some balance and maturity. It should be. And obviously leadership to that team that I think they've been missing. I think he's the kind of guy that puts them over the top, provided the fact that Simmons and Embiid can play together.
But you take Horford now. He's the one guy who's shown, I can D up Joel Embiid.
Oh,
you don't have that problem anymore.
He owns him.
You don't have that problem anymore.
He was a big reason why the Celtics had a great record against Philadelphia for the last couple of years. No question about it. But I think if you had to pick right now, who would go further in playoffs? Should you put the Lakers or the Clippers? I might go Clippers.
I would go Clippers right now.
Mm-hmm.
I would. That roster, on top of having the superstar, I mean, it's a better roster than what Kawhi just won with.
And the other thing, you look at the Utah Jazz, they may end up being the better. I mean, they get Conley, they get Bogdanovich, which is a guy I thought the Lakers should have gone after.
Yeah.
He was one of those free agent guys that would fit their salary cap space.
It was the problem with holding out for Kawhi.
Yeah,
when you hold out for Kawhi, you're letting other guys go out and sign with other teams, guys that would be huge assets for your team.
Yeah, and they get Jeff Green, Ed Davis. Favors is gone, but still, that is the Utah Jazz. I think they were on TV twice last year, national TV.
They'll get more than that this year.
They should.
They
absolutely should. You still got, which my sandwich bet was absolutely. I mean, there's no way the Golden State Warriors are not going to win. All I have to do is win 36 games, Craig.
36.
Yeah, they're winning 36 games. There's no question about it. I think people are going to be very quick to dismiss them. And they're not going to be the powerhouse that they were, but they're not going to be a bunch of slouches either. They'll still be the new arena.
Look, by the time we hit the All-Star break, which it's not halfway, it's 60%, it's 65% of the way through the season, but they're going to have the last third of the season with the starting backcourt being D'Angelo Russell, Steph Curry, and Klay Thompson when he comes back from his ACL.
Yep.
That trio right there can put up 65 a game.
Mm-hmm. The Milwaukee Bucks, they lose Malcolm Brogdon. That's a huge loss for them. Huge loss, I think. The second best player. Eric Bledsoe, I still think, is a wild card. I don't know what you're going to get out of him.
Third best player. They had to re-sign Chris Middleton.
Oh, that's
their second best.
Chris,
I like Malcolm Brogdon. Problem with him, he wasn't available enough. He'd always have a little injury here, mm-hmm. a little injury there that just kept him off the floor too much.
So I think I just think it's a wide open NBA. The Celtics with Kemba Walker, along with Brown, along with Tatum, along with Hayward, they're still pretty good. The chemistry there is going to be. I think there's a big, gigantic sigh of relief. Let Kyrie go to Brooklyn and poison them for a year and see what happens until KD number 7 gets there, which will not be this year. So I don't know what Brooklyn's going to be all about. They'll be okay. But they're not going to be a threat to get to the Eastern Conference Finals.
They were okay this year.
Yeah, they were okay
in defense.
This year.
And I mean, they kept a lot of they kept Spencer Dinwiddie, who's a really underrated player in the league. They kept a lot of the glue guys. You're just bringing in Kyrie. And hopefully he learned from what happened in Boston and doesn't blow up
this locker room. He's not going to learn. That's not his style. He doesn't learn. He was talking about experiences and... He was talking about the year he was hurt and they got to the Eastern Conference Finals. He kept saying, almost like how he was responsible for that. He wasn't even on the floor. And I will never forgive him. I've never seen an elite player, which I think he is, just dog it. And every decision, the last three games against the Milwaukee Bucks, he just didn't care. Everything he did was wrong. His shot selection was wrong. His passing was off. His switches, call-out switches, which ended up to gigantic mismatches. How many times did he end up covering Greek Freak? It was embarrassing after they had one game won the way they did.
See, I think that there was more wrong with Boston this year than Kyrie.
I think he was a big...
He was a big part of it, but there was a lot there. I mean, Jaylen Brown, and this is not playoff, but Jaylen Brown did not start the season very well this year.
No, he ended it well. But the chemistry was just off from the beginning. Because guys were needed to grow up a little bit. They needed to mature a little bit. Brad Stevens did not do a great job coaching that team, dealing with the egos and dealing with the guys who were a big part of the reason why 2 years ago they went to the Eastern Conference Finals. Time for the sacrifice a little bit because Kyrie was on the team. And now Kemba Walker's on the team, but I just get the feeling that Kemba Walker is going to be everything that Kyrie wasn't. I think he's going to be a leader. I just don't think he's going to have that attitude that switches on a day-by-day in the locker room. I think they're going to be well more balanced, and I think Brad Stevens is going to be probably a better coach for it. So Celtics to 76ers. I think Indiana's going to be okay. Milwaukee, obviously, is going to be
there. Oh, Indiana's going to be better than okay.
Yeah. Those four teams, to me, are going to be right there.
And
Toronto should be... A pretty good. They had everybody back,
right?
Kawhi,
right.
That's a big loss.
But as big loss. You know, the audio cut we just played, Nick Nurse. This is where you're leaning when you turn down the trade that would have brought Paul George and Russ to town because you didn't want to give up Pascal Siakam. That's a guy that they're going to be leaning on heavily for offensive output next season. They have to, and we know guys like Kawhi. Lowry is going to have a nice regular season. He can put up stats in the regular season. They re-signed Gasol. They've got more than just Kawhi. Now, are they title contenders? No. But they're not going to be an easy out next season, I don't think.
I think the NBA is wide open. I think there you could circle eight teams, anyone of eight, maybe nine, that have a shot to win it.
And it makes for a more compelling regular season, I think.
I think so.
It makes it so that you're going to have to pay attention to a handful of teams in each conference. Now, is the West still better than the East? Yeah, I think so. I think more of the stars reside in the West than they do in the East, but still, it's going to be entertaining.
I forget who was doing the afternoon show. When was I listening? Sunday morning or Saturday, I was driving around. I forget who it was. But they made a great point. The NBA, all sports try to force parity down your throat. Baseball, we all know, is a joke.
Right.
You got seven teams that have a chance out of 32 or 31. Hockey can be a little bit different because of the playoffs. An 8 seed we've seen can go all the way and win. We saw an 8 seed this year sweep the Tampa Bay Lightning in Columbus.
Well, we saw a team that was last in the West
in January 2nd win the Stanley Cup. So yes, as long as you can get into the playoffs in the NHL, I think parity exists. The NBA, no such luck. And if you look over since 1980, There have only been 8 teams that have won the title. And I think 3 of those were ones, like Toronto.
One time?
Yeah, one time. The rest were all multi.
Yeah, Toronto, winners. Dallas.
So there has not been a lot of parity in the NBA. There really hasn't.
But they don't sell parity.
No, they do, Chris. They try to. Yeah. Not as hard as maybe some other, but I do think they try to sell parity.
See, I think they sell the stars. And they sell the top of the league. They're not selling the middle of the league.
Well, see, they're forced to now because Milwaukee, I'm talking about major markets, and Utah is going to have to be. I think they try to project that image. May not be as bad as the NFL, but the NFL does have parity.
The NFL has parity. We know
on the whole, see who's available at the last week of the season. There's a gazillion popsicle headache scenarios for playoffs.
And they're the 12 teams that made the playoffs last year. You can write 5 of them off. And that's the stat every single year. Mm-hmm. Some years you get 6. But you can take half of the playoffs last year, throw them out, and put a new 5 in. It happens every single year.
Yep. The NBA, though, I think Adam Silver, not just him, Stern. Stern was worse than Adam Silver. Stern was always, the league could do no wrong. And it was, and everybody, it really wasn't. And for a long time, it was the Lakers and then the 76ers and the Celtics and the Pistons. And then you had, then you had San Antonio. Then you had Miami and Cleveland, Golden State. And you had the Lakers again. It really hasn't been a lot of uniqueness, and you had a lot of teams stuck in salary cap limbo, and we're late. We're way late. This is what happens. You don't talk for 2 weeks.
Got a lot to get out. That's
a lot to get out. Anyway, 239-337-3776, 239-337-3776. We will continue the discussion about the NBA. Also got some interesting baseball numbers to give you here at the All-Star break. The home run hitting contest is tonight. Our Twin Peaks Twitter poll is out as well, which I will update when we come back.
We call that a home run derby.
Yeah, the home run derby.
Not a home run hitting contest.
It's a home run hitting contest to me. And it bores the crap out of me.
I won't be watching.
Relic is pulled out.
Oh, apparently there's huge drama on The Bachelorette tonight. Luke P., this is the night. He's going home.
We'll get to that.
Luke P.
All right, we'll get
going
to that.
Home.
Another version of Wikipedia coming up at 4:45. And today is National Video Game Day, so the genre will be, of course, video games. We want to hear from you guys. Anything's on the table. 239-337-3776. Sheeman and Shepard here until 6 without Craig. We'll be back next week on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Facebook has turned into a platform where anyone can spew nonsense. Sounds like these guys. Like our Facebook page, 99.3 ESPN Radio. This is Sheeman and Shepard.
Well, back here on Sheeman and Shepherd, a Monday edition. It's July 8th already. Man, can football season get here fast enough?
No.
NFL Hall of Fame game coming up on August 1st. And, of course, where everybody's waiting for the big opening day week in Miami and Florida going at it on August 24th. And we have the new proud home of the Florida Gators this year. We'll hear all of their games right here on 99.3 ESPN, or just about every single one of them, unless it some kind of contract. We have so many things going on here. Chris is so busy with his
paperwork. Just staying with some Florida Gators news. Cornerback Brian Edwards, who wasn't expected to start but was expected to contribute again on special teams, has informed the school that he is going to put his name in the transfer portal. He appeared in 18 games the last 2 seasons with the Gators, and he made the announcement on Twitter today.
And this is the same guy who was on our police blotter not too long ago.
Oh, really?
Oh, Brian Edwards, yes.
Oh,
he had
okay.
gone through some issues, so I'm not surprised.
So did we take him off?
Well, he was acquitted.
Dropped
the charges, and then it was a young lady dropped the charges. So I told Craig to take him off the police blotter, but he's still there. But I am not surprised. I'm not surprised it is in the transfer portal.
Normally we think about the Gators, and at least I do. I think about always having a spectacular defense. In fact, I think that unit has not been appreciated enough over the last few years because the offense wasn't great at times. their defense had to do a lot of, you know, shoulder a lot of the load.
Oh, yeah, because of the offense.
But secondary, this is not a very deep group for the Florida Gators in the secondary this year. So losing a backup corner, not a big deal as long as your starters can stay healthy. Is it Henderson?
C.J. Henderson. You got, I think, Taylor, right? Taylor's, I think, he's a safety. Marco Wilson.
There we go. Yeah.
Marco
Wilson. So as long as you get your, as long as those two guys stay healthy, okay, you can maybe afford to not have another outside corner. You need to have a guy working in the slot, obviously. But if you start having some injuries, which we've seen it with the Gators over the last couple years, those injuries start to pile up.
Injuries/suspensions. I mean, it's been a combination.
Well, I guess, you should throw suspensions in there.
Oh, the suspensions were huge.
Yeah.
You know, Scarlett, there were a plethora of four or five guys that it's amazing. And it happened under McElwain. A lot of it did. But some of it happened last year, too, under Dan Mullen. But, of course, McElwain coaching at Central Michigan now, beating the
Chippewas.
But I don't think Gator fans will be unhappy if they win 9 games, 45-44. Not that that's going to happen.
No, but that's what they've been clamoring for. They got so – Gator fans got spoiled with Spurrier. Then after Spurrier, I know you had the wrong Ron Zook years, but after Spurrier, you kind of go to Urban Meyer and just putting up points at will with Tebow. Then after that, it's just been like the offense is stuck in neutral. Man, I hope that, and it looks like at the end of last year, I believe they scored 40 in each of their last four games.
Yeah, Walp, Michigan, and Wisconsin, and
Florida State. Crushed Florida State. There was a 1AA in there, or a FCS opponent in there as well.
Miami got blasted by Wisconsin again. Florida State, but the last two.
Is it South Carolina, maybe?
I'll
look
it
back
up
real quick. Yeah. But
well, the fact that they beat Michigan the way they did, you would think Michigan, after getting humiliated, I know it was a month earlier against Ohio State, but Florida just kicked them all over the field. What a beautiful thing.
Yeah, did what they wanted to with them.
They did. They absolutely did. So I am so intrigued. I cannot wait for the start of the season. And tomorrow.
Here, I got it right. Okay, so they scored 35 against South Carolina. This is all after their loss to Missouri, which was really their only bad loss last year
really
by the Gators. Put up 35 against South Carolina, 63 against Idaho, 41 against the Noles, and 41 against Michigan. So hopefully that offense has – they had some momentum going into the offseason. It was clearly Felipe Franks' team. Let him just – he's your quarterback. It's the first time in, three seasons that the Gators don't have a quarterback competition going into the year?
Yeah. Well,
I know that they've got some talent behind Felipe Franks, but it was pretty apparent at the end of last year. Felipe Franks had that offense working.
Without a doubt. And it was something that we didn't know. We kept wondering and waiting and waiting and waiting, and maybe there's too much pressure early with McElwain. And very similar to what the Hurricanes went through with Richt. And so I expect both offenses to be, and Miami has a lot longer way to go. The Hurricanes do.
Yeah.
But I think they will get there. I think Manny Diaz is going to get them going in the right direction. And I believe that, I know the defense is one of the best in the country. I think they were top five defense in the country. I know that. They just need a little bit of offense. So if Tate Martell gets it going, and I don't know if he's going to be able to get it going. He didn't have a great spring, particularly good spring, but I don't know how much stock I should put in that. I kind of treat those games or treat that like summer league basketball.
Right, it's spring. I mean, what are you really learning? It's what I always say about a spring game. There's always a positive spin that a coach can put on the game. Okay, your offense only scored 3 points. Man, our defense looked great out there today, didn't they? Okay, your offense hangs 45. Yeah, got to get some work done on that defense, but at least our offense looked really – I don't know how much you take out of –
I'm just going by last year with that absolute stagnant offense that Mark Richt came up with, and just really surprising. And people who are big Georgia fans tried to warn me.
Yes, they did.
And I was like, well, it's a different group, it's a different attitude, and we all got caught up, yours truly included, after the big blowouts of Virginia Tech and Notre Dame, the back-to-back weeks. And they haven't been the same since.
No, they went up. They lost to Pitt the following week after
got humiliated in the Orange Bowl against Wisconsin.
Well, and you're forgetting the humiliation in the ACC championship game at the hands of Clemson. I mean, it was
three absolute blowouts. Yeah, that was in between. Absolute horrific. They start off last year with a loss to LSU. They looked absolutely stagnant. We didn't know what LSU was going to be all about then, but LSU was in control of that game from start to finish. And then they had a cupcake with whatever that team is they always play in. Won by 70.
Was it Bethune-Cookman?
Bethune-Cookman, yeah. I mean, they started off 5-1 or 6-1, and then it just it was an ugly 6-1. Then they make the change at quarterback, and with Nkosi Perry, that added a little bit of a spark for a couple of games, a little bit.
Yeah, but what still was that? That was the UNC and the Florida State games,
well,
I think.
UNC out. They blew UNC out, and they beat Florida State.
But then it was four losses in a row last year.
Humiliated. And again, the Duke loss. And then you had, I mean, the Duke loss was, Daniel Jones, please. I mean, it's just awful. Awful. Dopey says, you're correct, Pete. I'm a big Georgia fan. I told you Mark Richt wasn't worth it, and you see what happened. Well, yeah, I just didn't think it would be 2 years of Miami offense, and it was just horrible to watch. So inconsistent. But DJ Dallas, I love that kid. You can use him in so many different spots. I'd make him, I'd have him 25, 30 touches a game. That's how good I think that kid can be. If he can handle the dirt, if he can stay healthy and be durable. Michael Irvin II is going to be a real good tight end. Yep. Brevin Jordan, they already have it. So, I mean, there's a lot of offensive weapons on the team. It's all about Tate Martell. He doesn't have to be great. Just be pretty good. Just be pretty good. Your defense will take care of the rest.
Defense is going to be, like you said, it's going to be one of the five best in the country.
It should be.
They've got talent.
It was that last year.
Every single level.
Yeah.
And you're bringing back, I don't know, what is it, the Butkus Award? Is that the nation's best linebacker?
Yeah.
With Shaq Quarterman. I mean, he's going,
Shaq Quarterman,
he'll be one of those. He was one of the best linebackers in the country as a sophomore.
That whole crew, I think it's Michael Pinckney and what's the other kid's name? McLeod. Tremendous. And, I mean, I'm not worried about the defense.
No, it's the offense.
At all. Absolutely not worried about anything at all. I'm going to try and stay on time here.
Oh, there you go.
Just great talking more about college football. So, again, Florida-Miami, August 24th. But the Hall of Fame game in the NFL is August 1st, not too far away. Opening weekend for college football is really the August 31st. And then NFL opening night is September 5th, less than 2 months away.
And that Hall of Fame game is the hold on 1 second. I said it last week and I forgot. Denver and Atlanta.
So Drew Lock.
Drew Lock. I was trying to spin it to Craig last night. He's like, yeah, it's boring. I said, Drew Lock.
I want to see Drew Lock.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I played the golf with a gentleman on Saturday from Missouri, lives down with me at my place at BN. And we're talking about Drew. He was very, very excited about it. I said, I think he's got a chance. He's got a chance. I said, him and Stidham, I think, have a chance to be better than just about everybody else that was drafted ahead of him. I think they have a shot.
Well, and it's Joe Flacco in front of him on the depth chart. So he's not making it 16 games. So
Absolutely.
Drew will get a shot this year.
Absolutely. All right, 239-337-3776, 239-337-3776. Sheeman and Shepard rolls on a Monday here on 99.3 ESPN in the 99.3 ESPN app.
Check out whatever ridiculous Twitter poll we're running at 99.3 ESPN Radio. Now it's Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN.
Welcome back, Sheeman and Shepard. Monday, stormy Monday anyway, the last hour and a half or so, it seems. I always know because the TV goes out. We don't have windows in here, but it's blurry. So if you're out there and it's a little stormy right now, take it slow. Glad you're here. I'm Pete Shepard. Was off for a couple weeks. I am back. We are back for a long time. I am back for a long time. We're not going anywhere until like Christmas. And love it because Craig is off this week, though. A little R&R. By the way, and Chris in the house as well, and he'll be co-hosting this week with me. What tweet did I see of Sheeman holding an alligator? First he went on
I know.
First he went on some cruise through the Everglades
Call that an airboat ride.
I know, an airboat ride. And then I see him holding an alligator. What happened? Where did this guy come from?
He laid it on me Friday that he was going. Well, he said he was going for a fan boat ride. I said, okay, well, let's
a fan boat.
Let's call it an airboat because that's what it is.
Yes.
He didn't tell me he was going to be handling any gators. Now that, and it wasn't a. I mean, it wasn't. It was small compared to a 14-foot, but it was what, probably a 4 or 5 foot alligator. It wasn't a newborn.
Yeah.
Wasn't a hatchling. Is that what you call it?
Yeah.
I don't know what you call it.
Yeah. Say hatchling. Yeah.
I wouldn't do it. I'll eat gator.
I love
I don't need to be the one to touch it, though.
No, I'm just, I was stunned.
Yeah.
I mean, he's had a hard time with armadillos in his pool.
Well, he says that he got rid of that.
Says? But anyways, I was stunned. I'm like, wow. What, you know, where did this guy come from?
I tweeted at him. I said, your redneck is showing.
Yeah, I just saw that. Unbelievable.
Good for him, though.
Unbelievable. We're coming up next hour at 4:45, of course, a little less than an hour from now. We're going to have Wikipedia. And today is National Video Game Day. So, of course, Chris has come up with the genre for Wikipedia today. For video games, so how'd it go without me? Was it okay? I mean, obviously, no one's going to match
Craig,
my superior knowledge about nothing.
Craig was pretty impressive.
Well, who wrote the questions?
I did. Craig, no.
Craig, I mean, I'm pretty impressive.
No,
I just never get a chance to win.
No, Craig was pretty impressive. There were some questions where I said, there is no way in hell he is going to get this. So on the 3rd of July, we did, Fourth of July trivia.
Yeah.
Can you name the one country that also celebrates their independence on July 4th?
That's a good one.
Yeah.
It's not England. We know that.
No, Craig came out with it instantly.
Really?
Philippines, 1946.
You know,
he was absolutely right about it.
I would have said, I don't know if I would have got that. I might have said Guam, which is my favorite country to say, which is right near the Philippines.
It was very great. Impressive. I was impressed.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Did not know that.
Now, as the week got later, I kind of started giving him some layups, but he was very good. I believe he missed his first question the first week on Thursday.
Uh-huh.
Got everything right Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Interesting.
And then last week had a very successful week as well. No, it was
good.
Yeah. We got to go back to you playing so the listeners have a better shot.
No, what happens is it's so rigged. And I get a lot of the problem is I get a lot of listeners' questions. I usually miss one, once in a while two, but overall I think I've hit the majority of them. But sometimes I don't have a chance to win.
Like today, I mean, one, two of your four questions. It's not unrealistic for you to get all four.
Yeah,
in fact, I think you might.
Three or four.
I think you might. So there you go.
Wiccan Warriors, the Pete is an expert of knowing everything after he's told the answer. No, I don't know. I know a lot of useless information. It's hit or miss. It's a lot of fun. And, hey, what I love about it is that it benefits the listener, you guys, so that's all I care about.
So again,
I'm all about
today,
you. I make the sacrifice. I'm not James Harden. I don't sit out at the three-point line and dribble between my legs for 19 seconds and throw up a three.
And today we've got your choice of prize, WWE tickets July 22nd at Hertz Arena, mm-hmm. or I got a stack about 3 inches tall of Fort Myers Miracle tickets that you can choose from.
Nice.
So there you go.
Nice. We'll get into all that next hour. And I got we're going to start next hour by – I'm going to run down, since the All-Star break is happening, the Futures game was already happened yesterday, which nobody cares about.
It was a tie.
Yeah, it was 7 innings too, right?
Yeah, it was a tie.
Yeah, great.
Awesome.
Wonderful. Wonderful. So the tie, but I thought they were going to implement the rule about tie. It didn't happen. I thought they were going to implement the rule.
No, I think.
Future rule, putting a guy at second base. And,
maybe that's just the real All-Star game, not the Futures.
No, it was the Futures. I don't know. But
maybe it was the celebrity softball game that ended in a tie. Then
I'll run down.
I thought they did that today.
I'll run down the home run derby participants. You know, Pete Alonso with the Mets, the rookie. You got to feel bad for him. Anybody in the Mets throw any chairs in the locker? Any general manager spaz out again over the last 24 hours that I should know about?
No, but Mickey Callaway says that his team needs to show up for the second half because he thinks they got a shot.
Does it? great. A shot at what?
Wild card, man.
Oh, please. Good God.
No, they play the Marlins. That's way too many wins to
my
get a number one pick.
My beloved Red Sox can get Chris Sale going again. They're right there in the second wild card, but they need Chris to get back on track. They need bullpen help, but so some other teams. Anyway, we'll get into some baseball stuff. I think some interesting numbers here at the halfway mark. Some are obscene, ridiculously over the top. But we'll get into all of that and more NBA news and a whole lot more. 239-337-3776. It's hour number three of the Sheeman Shepherd Show coming up next on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.